Hey, all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hey, groomers, how you doing? Hey, Susie, how about you?
I'm cold. Welcome to episode 141 of the Groom Pod, recorded on November 5th, 2017 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This week on the Groom Pod, we're going to talk about high velocity drying of difficult dogs, phenolic disinfectants, and how clean is clean. You can join our discussion by finding us on Facebook at facebook.com/group/thegroompod. The best way to get the Groom Pod, though, is to subscribe to it, because occasionally I forget to put the notice on Facebook that we've released a show. But if you subscribe to it, like on Stitcher or iTunes, on Google Play or somewhere like that, then it just automatically downloads and you know about it, whether I remember to put it up on Facebook or not. You can find all things Groom Pod related at our website, which is thegroompod.com. And keep sharing us with your pals, and for sure support our fabulous sponsors. What's new this week? Brought to you by Barbara's Shopping Site. Shop for specialty grooming items at www.shop.beaver.biz. Shop with a groomer. It's good karma. Barbara, how has your wonderful week been?
Oh, I had a pretty good week. I don't remember much about it. It was that sort of an uneventful, fairly smooth, got through it sort of a week. But I had a disappointment yesterday, and I had to deal with it. I had a new client with a mini schnauzer, an adorable mini schnauzer. She was kind of too small for the show ring.
I love those.
And she was a black. Her owner called me and had found me on the internet on my article that I wrote about schnauzer grooming in Tucson with pictures of my schnauzers. And she told me that her groomer had been hospitalized and she needed grooming, and she thought that I could do the breed profile groom. And I said, that's exactly what I'm here for. And I was all excited to do it. And the dog was really very good. The coat was difficult, but I did it. And I just kind of corrected a few things on the grooming. And the woman especially wanted the eyebrows to be right. So I got some nice eyebrows and I curved them, and they had just been left too full on the sides. But we fixed that, and I fixed the underline was too skirty, and I, you know, chopped that off. And then it was like real kind of long on the thigh of the legs, but short on the bottoms of the rear legs. That was kind of weird. It was like 4 inches of hair on the top of the back leg, and then 1 inch around from the hock down, you know. And
wow.
I didn't understand that, so I evened that out, and I used my spray so I could upcomb the fine hair and scissor it nicely. And we thought the dog looked really good, but you know what, I don't think the owner liked it.
Oh.
I was all ready. We did the big reveal, and I was all ready, you know, for them to burst into tears and give me a big hug. And she just sort of stared at the dog.
Oh.
And I said, is this all right with you? You know, and she said, well, I like the eyebrows, but she's supposed to have longer hair on her legs and that, and they always take the back much shorter than that. I had used a 7 blade, so they had probably been a 10 or a 15. And I said, well, I could fix that back for you right now. No, we came a long distance and we want to get home. She wouldn't even let me fix it. You know, she paid cash, but she didn't tip. And so I just said, nice knowing you.
Yeah, there you go. Their groomer's going to come back out of the hospital. And
yeah, she's going to go back to her groomer anyway. But it was a little downer. It was a downer. And I had to sit down and ask myself how long I was going to let it bring me down. You know, you have to catch yourself in the act.
Right. Good point.
Of when negativity is doing you wrong. You have to catch yourself in the act and ask yourself right then, what kind of a person do I want to be dealing with this? Do I want to sit here? I mean, I considered crying. You know, I was that disappointed. Aww. I considered crying, but heck no. Crying is when Marco bites the customer.
Yes.
Crying isn't when one customer out of 100 doesn't like your breed profile. That's because they don't like the breed profile, but they don't know that. And really what she said was, she just looks so different.
Yes, that is a clue.
She just looks so different. So here's a tip. When you are about to undertake a transformational type of grooming, you need to be sure that the customer is willing to have the dog not look like what they're used to.
Yes, but they throw a little hitch into the get along when they ask you if you know how to do a breed profile, because oftentimes what they're getting and what you know as being the correct profile are not the same thing. And sometimes you can tell by the grow out, and other times you can't really tell by the grow out. Well, you know what though?
I know. Yeah.
There's a thing that would help you work through your distress on the subject. And it's a webinar that you're hosting. And it's true, because you've got information in here on how to work through some of this stuff personally. And it's our Handling Customer Complaints webinar. And it's November 12th, not November 11th, like it says on the banner, which I will change. But November 12th on Sunday at 11 p.m. At 11 p.m. No, not at 11 p.m.
Take that back.
At 11.
I'm dead meat at 11.
Oh, yeah. I'm out. So at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, because we're not on Daylight Savings Time anymore. So Pacific Standard Time, November 12th, it's $39.95. You can sign up for the webinar at Barbara's shopping site, which is shop.bieber.biz, B-I-Z. And this is a step-by-step tutorial on how to handle customer complaints and difficult situations in the shop and really in life, isn't it?
Right. And it's a communication skills webinar. And, you know, like my words don't do it justice. And we have to, and also I want to remind you that our webinars are always interactive. So where the webinar goes, I can be led. I can be led astray.
Why can't you? so true. Yeah, no, they're fun. I get to actually man the chat room, and it's really a gas in there.
And this is tough material. It's tough because sometimes we get defensive about our way of acting with customers. And, you know, it requires an open mind, but I guarantee that we'll have fun and that we'll learn a lot about ourselves as well as our clients. And, you know, this is where my 12 years as a mental health professional comes into play with my grooming, you know, talking about people and how those people are and how we people are.
It's more interactive than some of the ingredient stuff. And Barbara was really an expert in this, and this just will give you some great guides to work through your own crap or to work through somebody else's crap.
And I might even share about the time I threw money at the cat customer.
Oh, I think that's a given. You must.
Okay.
I've got some things I want to mention. Not all that exciting, but stuff I got to talk about.
Okay.
First and foremost, I want to thank Faith for sending the Marshmallow D mat stuff to me. I've been using it, and I found the most effective place for me to use it is before the bath, and especially in tails and ears. I just get it worked in there. I brush out my tails and ears and then wash the dog, and it all comes right back out. And I haven't noticed any residual stickiness or anything. I think it's fantastic. Not to mention, I love the smell. So I just wanted to thank her for that, because that was really cool. And I don't think I ever really gave a review or my opinion on it. So I don't consistently use it after the bath, but I do consistently grab for it before the bath. I think that the silicones for me work a little bit better after the bath, but this is okay. This works good before the bath. And gosh, I love the smell. Did I say that? Because I really like the smell. It's just really good. Okay, so there's that. Secondly, I got a book in the mail, and I know you did too. Did you get a chance to look at it at all?
You know, I started opening the package, and I got distracted.
That happens.
Oh dear.
Shiny object over here.
I think it was my dogs wanted to get fed or something like that, and so I put it down. That's what happened. My dogs wanted to get fed. While you're up and in the kitchen area, lady, you got to feed us. You know?
They're so demanding that way. Gosh. Well, I wanted to mention what a striking visual appeal the cover of the book has. Did you look at the cover?
Hey, that's cute.
Isn't that really nice?
Yeah,
I mean, it's a good looking cover. It gets your attention. The book is really well laid out. If you're going to do any house call grooming, I totally think that this is a really good, I would call it a house call encyclopedia. And it just takes you from beginning to end through house call grooming. Now, all I've done is leaf through it. So next time I will have read it. Barbara probably will have taken it out of the package and read it as well. And we can give you a true review of it. But looking at it, just glancing through, this is a great book for anybody who wants to do house call grooming. It's really well laid out. It's got lots of information on it. And I absolutely love the cover.
And, you know, it's the book is going to give you a sense of self-confidence that you wouldn't have otherwise had. You know, it'll make you feel like you got some things answered, and you can go into your first week of house call grooming without a horrible fear.
Yes, totally prepared.
You know, it'll just give you a feeling of I've got this. You know, I know what's up here, and
yes, you know. And it has a foreword by our friend Daryl Connor.
Oh, always a good spokesman.
And apparently the cat grooming chapter was written by Chris Anthony. So really neat, neat book. I'm excited to look at it. And I just wanted to say thanks for that. Thirdly, we will be welcoming on a new sponsor, and it's Evolution Shears.
Woo-hoo!
Pretty excited about that. Yep. So they have sent Barbara and I some shears in the mail. We don't have them yet, but I wanted to pre-thank them because I know they listen. So thanks, you guys. We're excited to have you on board, and I can't wait to do, we're going to do a video fitting. We're going to make that available for you guys to see at our website and also on the Facebook page, probably more likely the Facebook page than the website, because I have a difficult time doing website stuff, but you know, you can find the archives there and all that stuff. Also, the people in places like Canada and in England are trying to give us money, Barbara, and we really don't have a great way for them to do that. So I wanted to let everybody know that there is a way I can work out through Amazon to get that available to the people in Canada and also the people in the United Kingdom. And I think pretty much everywhere else that has Amazon. But I have to jump through some hoops. So I've been so busy, crazy busy with everything, and then woke up to snow this morning, surprise, and yesterday, which, you know, for a mobile groomer, it's kind of icky. So I have been very busy with stuff, and I haven't quite looked at that. But since you guys are requesting it, I will look at that. There's also ways, I don't know if the donation button works for you guys, but it's on our website. You could try that.
I think it might, because it's PayPal, and PayPal is over there, big over there.
Yes. So that's, let us know. Let us know if the donation button works. I think that's it. Shall we move on to our first appointment?
Hey, let's go there. I want to get to the table.
You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out BestShotPet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's BestShotPet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them.
Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment.
We are going to talk today about high-velocity drying of difficult dogs. And this was from a post on, I believe it was our Groom Pod discussion group, of a dog getting with a hooding on, and it was in the tub, and it was getting high-velocity dried. It was being dried by a high-velocity dryer. And the dog was having a very difficult time with it. And it got me thinking of ways that we can make that kind of a drying situation more comfortable for the dog. So this is more applicable probably for a mobile groomer than it is for a shop groomer. But if you do express grooming, one-at-a-time grooming, or if you're a bather and you do a lot of drying, hands-on drying, active drying, as opposed to passive drying, do you know what the difference is between active and passive drying?
Do I? Are you asking me?
Well, yeah. Tell us.
Well, so
I'm trying to include you in the conversation. I keep you awake.
I know. I was about to turn on iTunes. No, it's okay. Well, active grooming is when you're actually doing something to facilitate the drying, and passive drying is kind of like air drying or cage drying, where the dog is being passive and you're not engaged in it. How's that?
Right. Perfect. That is exactly the explanation I was looking for. Okay. So let's just talk about ways we can get a dog that is uncomfortable, or really any dog, to have a little more pleasant drying experience. Because in my opinion, drying is one of the most adversarial acts of grooming. I mean, it's combat, frontline combat for them. It's right there with nails. And part of that reason is because it's so loud. It's loud. And another part of it is because it's wet skin getting blown with air. And that is never comfortable. And especially if you're little and you're white, not people dogs, but little white dogs, man, that's uncomfortable. So let's think of some ways. Let's troubleshoot some ways we can make this better. First of all, this is, like I said, more for people who have to do HV drying. I'm in a situation where I pretty much have to do HV drying. The tub would be my last choice of places to dry a dog that is not comfortable with drying, or really, in my opinion, any dog. Now, in my grooming situation, my tub is made of plywood sealed with rhino liner. So basically, it's rhino liner. It's soft. It even absorbs a little bit of sound. It's not reflective like some of the metal tubs, but metal tubs, boy, they're loud, aren't they?
That's why I don't want a stainless steel tub, to tell you the truth. I have a porcelain tub, and they're loud enough. But it's that there's just something about that, the non-porosity of the stainless steel. It's non-porous. It's so size sound. And in a stainless steel tub, all the back is also stainless steel. And I mean, three sides are.
Reflected everywhere. Sound
So the sounds just bounces off and back and ricocheting. I wouldn't want to be dried in a stainless steel tub.
And if I remember correctly, the high-velocity dryer at the nozzle deflected against the dog is actually extremely high in count, right? It's like 110 decibels or something like that.
Yeah, it's a dangerous level. It is.
Yep. So that's just not going to help the dog settle down. It's never going to help the dog settle down. It's not good for your ears either, by the way. And you should always be wearing hearing protection, but that is yet another topic. We're not going to talk about that today, but we will talk about the hearing protection on the dog. So I always take the dog out of the tub. Sometimes I do the dog on the table if the dog's big. And maybe I couldn't do it on the table, like at the vet hospital, I would do the dog on the floor in front of the bank of cages. And I would set some towels down or a blanket down or something that would absorb the water. And on the table, I actually hang towels to absorb scent as well. They do that function, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. Any porous cloth will do that.
Okay. So I put a towel down on the table and then I also sack the dog out.
What's that? I don't think a lot of people know what that term is.
And I think, did it come from dog shows? Is it a poodle term or something like that? Yeah.
It's a spaniel term. It's a cocker spaniel term. They do that, and terrier people do that too.
So yeah, the object of it is to swaddle the dog basically in towel so that the towel can wick off moisture. And in this case, that towel wicking off moisture also facilitates drying, but it protects the dog's skin a little bit when you're, in my case, heating up the dryer, because I can't, especially it was 31 degrees yesterday when I went out to work. It takes a little bit of time for the trailer to warm up, and I always kick the heat on. And so the heat's running while I'm washing the first dog. And then the hot air from the bath water will fill the trailer. And that makes that really raises the temperature in there. And then throw on the high velocity dryer heated, and it brings it up the rest of the way to where it's bearable. And then it's kind of stays warm the rest of the day. But that first dog has to wait until I get that dryer warm. So while he's waiting, I've got him all swaddled up, and I've got clips, I have hair clips that hold the towel on against him. He's also sitting on a towel, and then I have a happy hoodie on. So I'm protecting his hearing with the happy hoodie. Mind you, the happy hoodie is a great distraction for drying. If they don't like the happy hoodie, they'll be more worried about that than they are you at the dryer. They'll be trying to get the happy hoodie up. And in my case, they'll be all hooked up to the lip system as well. So they can't really get at the happy hoodie, but they'll want to. So they'll obsess about that while you're able to get the back end of the dog dry. And of course, blow all that water off first and open the hair so that it's warm against the skin, you know, and it's not quite as cold then when you take that dryer air. But even hot dryer air against the skin is not all that pleasant. So, those are things that I do all the time with all the dogs, but especially with a dog that's reactive, especially with a dog that's noise reactive. You really want to dampen everything. You want to wrap them up and you want to make the drying time as quick as possible. So you sell happy hoodies. Tell me a little bit about happy hoodies.
Well, happy hoodies were devised, invented or created by, women. That's a one. That's a plus. Always. Yay. Like a woman developed product. And they now come in pink, black, and white. So the first happy hoodies were just white, and they're like they're kind of, how would you describe them? It's kind like of like a knitted headband almost.
Like a beanie hat.
Like a beanie hat without the back.
Right.
And they, you know, or a white headband, and it fits over the ears and is with an elastic in it. So it's snug, but not tight. And it helps to block the sound of the HV dryer. And now I haven't tried this. I keep intending to try this, but we had a listener that suggested using cut up makeup square sponges.
Yes.
The old triangular shaped ones.
Yes.
Cut those and use those as earplugs and a happy hoodie. That would be the maximum. Cotton by itself only reduces the sound level by about 7 points. But I think your happy hoodie does better than that. But a combination of plugging the ears, and I like the idea of using that foam, because a lot of our hearing protection foam inserts for people are foam.
Yes, and I've got human hear human foam earplugs in the trailer that I put in dogs that whose ears are small enough to put them in there. You know. That's just not all of them. Yeah. You know, some of those cavernous ears, the makeup.
The big dogs.
Yes. Yeah. But I fold the ears down. And the reason we're talking so much about this is because I really think that the reactive dogs are mostly reactive because either of the noise level or of the volume of air against their skin. You know, another thing to do.
I actually think that the feeling of the air on their skin is more disturbing to some dogs than others.
Right.
I mean, you know, we're trying to say, hey, dude, this is just like putting your head out the car window,
Yes.
You know, but you got some dogs that would never, ever do that.
True.
You know? I mean, the other day, here's a dryer story. The other day, Yvonne was drying the dog on her table, and she had the stand dryer going on the dog. And Marco, my Maltese, was sniffing. He was standing up on her leg, sniffing her pocket, because she has treats in there a lot that she gives to most any dog. And
I know
and
that.
And the dryer was just like blowing his hair. just right across his face, and he didn't care. And I had to point it out, because go figure, you know.
He won't let you dry his face, right?
No, he won't let me scissor his face.
Okay. Yeah, dogs are funny that way.
He won't let me do it. I so much want to do an Asian fusion thing with Marco on his face, because I've got the Asian fusion flared legs shaved body thing going, but he won't have any of it. Well, anyway, let's move on.
Moving on. So, like I said, a lot of this is about reducing noise level and how much air is blowing. And another way we can do that is take the cones, the focusers, the nozzles off of your HV dryer and just use the cuff. And after it's warmed up, if you have to, just use one speed on these react, especially puppies. So the doodle people who got another doodle doodled, I think I mentioned it last week, they were getting another doodle there. So they have two doodle doodles. That's a lot of doodle, 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 doodle. Well, I met him this week, and he's adorable, and obviously he's very shy. So I thought he was going to be a pancake on the table, but he stood like a gentleman for his whole groom. And
what a good boy.
Not a tangle on that dog with at least four inches of hair. And it was beautiful. It was just so much fun to dry that dog. And I don't even, and so, yeah. So he was a little nervous with the dryer, but I think he had been dried before somewhere. Probably the breeder had dried him before. But I took that focuser nozzle, even though I'm using the water peeler, I took it off and I just used the cuff and I got it nice and hot, and I just was able to dry him like a champ for his, it's only his second professional, no, it was his first professional grooming, and then she gave him two baths at home. So he's had two baths, but thank goodness that wasn't a bad dog, because I don't want another bad doodle. I have a few of those that are so, they just won't stand up. But other than that, you know, they have pleasant personalities. So use lesser air volume. Some of the dogs that I have that have a really difficult time with the head, I leave the happy hoodie on the whole grooming. And then at the very last minute, I pull it off and dry the head. And there's almost nothing to dry at that point. But sometimes I have to go with just good enough. Sometimes I will send the dog into a lovely warm house, usually with elderly people who crank it up to 78 degrees. I'll send that dog in with a little bit of dampness around its face, because sometimes I don't want to have the battle every single time and have the dog be on defense when it gets into the trailer right off the bat. So I will do some good enough stuff. Do you ever do that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you don't have to, really, though.
Well, no, we do. We have, in fact, we had a dog yesterday, Toro. So Toro is a 20-pound Shih Tzu Maltese and he comes with Pee-wee, his dad, who is a 6-pound Maltese. I mean, Toro is a Shih Tzu in a Maltese head. He hates having his head dried. Absolutely just hates it. And we do all of those things. We do all of the above. We cut the sound level down. We cut the, I even have a nozzle that's a diffuser that diffuses it even more. It's some kind of a vacuum cleaner attachment, but it came with the cool dry, with the original cool dry. And Chris Christensen used to sell them for some, but it's good for frightened dogs. And it's also good for real long haired dogs like Afghan hounds and bearded collies and those and Lhasas and full coat or Shih Tzus and full coat, where the coat can actually whip knot on a, yeah, I know. That diffuser, it still delivers enough air to dry the dog, but it's pretty gentle when it hits their body. So that's an option. And we did all of this stuff with Toro, and we had two people. I was petting him. I had treats. I was doing all it. He was just screaming. And we gave up within 5 minutes, because sometimes it's just not worth it. The stress that it actually causes on the dog. You cannot ever think that dogs are just like being overly dramatic.
Something's going on.
Something's going on. I mean, maybe they're very reactionary dogs, and some don't give a shit. But, you know, if a dog is acting like that, it's experiencing all of the physiological things of stress, the increased heart rate, the, you know, it's
panic.
It's not panic and you know, the body, and that's not healthy.
No, and that's, it's not going to promote a good relationship with that pet.
And it's, yeah, right. So what we do, of course, this is why I love a stationary shop. And one of the real advantages is then I can cage dry Toro with, we have a little, a small wire crate with small 9-inch fans bungee to it that make kind of a little cage dryer thing there. And so it's ambient air in the wintertime. I put a heat source up to it. And I also can just kind of air dry and fluff with my hands and, you know, get the air to go through it.
My last line of defense for something like this, it kind of depends on the owner. But if the owner gives a decent bath, I'll have the owner bathe the dog the night before and let it air dry at the house. Then I can tidy it up, stretch it out a little bit with some product and a little bit of air. And then the part that I'm doing is less of a combat, less adversarial, more pleasant. And then, because as a mobile groomer and as a special needs groomer, the object of the game is to get the hair out of places you need to get the hair out of with the least amount of stress to the dog. So I'm always looking for ways to eliminate that. And if me dealing with an owner's bath, which some of them do just fine, some of them give great baths, other ones not so much. So you got to give that a try. You know, that's also, you could go the day before, bathe the dog, come back. You could have the dog come into the shop with the owner knowing that it's going to be there all day and just let it be there until it dries out. You know, you've got those options. I don't have those options, but there, I think that covers everything I wanted to say about that. Yeah. Anything you want to add?
Well, there is also the option of using a dry cleaner.
Oh, good point. Yes, go for it.
And because I do this on terriers that I'm hand stripping, where I really don't want to blow out the jacket that I just spent 2 hours hand stripping.
Right.
And so I use an aerosol dry shampoo. I happen to like the one from, it's a human product from Not Your Mother's, called Clean Freak. I like everything about that product. I like the name. I like the...
I was thinking I like the name too.
It works and it smells very good and not overpowering smell, but it just leaves the dog smelling very fresh. It's going to remove some sebum and oil and dirt, and you just spray it on and you work through the coat and then brush it with a bristle brush. And, it's an option. For me, it's a terrier option.
Right. I like it. I like all the options. Options are good. All right. Let's hear from South Park, and then we're going back to school. Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars.
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
Okay, veterinary vocabulary today, Barbara. A special request by someone that I know. The word is edema. And the definition of edema is a condition in which the tissues of the body contain too much body fluid. the fluid accumulation may cause swelling in the affected area. Yeah, edema. That's bad.
Yeah. I am suffering with edema.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah, I'm having, oh God, I'm looking at my foot right now. I can't show you, yeah. But what happens is that these are shoes that look like that. They're making these big indentations in my foot, and that my foot looks gross.
And oh, how strange.
That was my first real clue that something was wrong down there. You know, I said, I took these shoes off, and there was these just big fat blobs pattern on my feet. And I said, look at, holy crap. So I've got some from a toe to ankle compression things that I'll be using after the podcast. But, you know, it's just another little surprise of aging. You know, like, okay, here's this now.
Well, you know, we do see swelling in all kinds of places, and some of the worst swelling is in the lungs, where fluid collects in the lungs of the dogs that have congestive heart failure, and you'll hear them cough, and that's edema also. And yeah, in people, it tends to settle in your feet and your hands. Your swelling goes down there. Yeah, but in dogs...
One of the times I remember edema is when you shave the ears and the ears are badly matted, the blood can rush to the bottom of the ear leather and swell it up so bad.
Right.
The vet needs to intervene.
Right, it gets so bad it creates a hematoma thingy, a big gigantic bruise down there, and there's and since it's everything runs to the end, the edema, it just swells the ears up horrible.
So here's a preventive tip. When you're shaving badly matted ears, and there's a possibility, or if you get any sign that the dog's shaking his head, happy hoodie.
Oh, yes. What a great idea.
See, we used to...
Very topical.
Yeah, we used to wrap them with... vet wrap stuff, but the happy hoodie is just like right there and use it. That's another good use of a hoodie, is if you think the dog is going to shake its head till his ears bleed.
Yes, the bummer is the actual, you can prevent it, but the dog is likely going to have to go to the vet, because once the head shake starts, when they go home, it just kind of gets worse. And you got to warn the owners to have them watch for it. And I mean, they can shake their head so bad that their ears bleed and it drips out the bottom of the ears. So, tangent. Okay. Grooming glossary today is a term we use a lot. It's the tuck up. And I like this definition. This is a Susie created definition. I'm not exactly sure if it's exact, but where the brisket meets the loin. You can tell I was hungry this morning.
Well, it's the highest point of the underneath. Well, okay. Actually, there's, yeah. So, yeah, it's the flank of the dog, or it's that area in between the last rib and the back leg.
Right.
That, you know, and, well, and in grooming, it's important. You need to know where the tuck up is, or is there not one?
Yes. Do you show it or do you hide it?
Here's a big difference. Look at the underline, or the, you know, the line from the bottom of the chest up to the flank.
Yes.
Last week's definition. And, the poodle, for example, has a kind of an exact, the show poodle or the competition grooming poodle, it has an accentuated tuck up. The Bedlington Terrier has a natural, very big tuck up. The Bichon Frise, very little of a tuck up. But
unless I'm grooming it.
Lovely.
up. That's incorrect. And I know it, and I try to leave it, and then I end up cutting it off. I almost do it every time. I know the error of my ways.
I can't wait for you to get down here.
I know.
We're gonna groom some Bichons, girl.
All right. Well, that other thing about a tuck up is it's an area that can get easily brush burned and or nicked or even cut with the scissors because it's very fine membrane in there.
Well, that's that flap.
Yes, the actual flap area.
The actual skin area.
Yeah. But it's such an important thing because like you were saying, it's like the guide. It's a guide for us in the patterns. You know, it's one of those areas we look to define a pattern. So thought it was an important one. All right. Now it's the really important stuff. It's time for the definition du jour. Barbara, I'm passing it to you.
Okay. Well, I thought we would continue with our series on disinfecting and disinfectants. And I took a look this week at phenols and phenolic cleansers because they're one of the common things that we find at the supermarket. So basically, phenols are cleansing or disinfecting products that end in OL or SOL.
Oh, I know. Like Pine Sol and Lysol, those?
Yeah, and the interesting thing is that when I looked at, I'm looking for my notes now. I've got them, ha ha. I thought it was going to take a long time, but I cleaned up my desktop before you called. Phenols, I'm going to say that one of the most scary moments in my shop with an employee was a reaction to phenols, to a phenolic cleanser. Yes, it was a Lysol type spray, aerosoled, and she had told me that she was very sensitive to Pine Sol, but I didn't generalize it to Lysol. And in front of her, I sprayed some Lysol. I think I was going to clean off my table or something like that. And she went into anaphylactic shock.
Oh, wow.
And she's gasping for breath and holding her throat. And I told you so, you know.
Yeah, right. Save your breath, lady.
Oh, damn it. I had to call the handsome first responder fireman. Oh, dear. That brightened her day. Well, they fixed her up, and pretty much by the time they got there, I had her in the other room, and we were over the moment. But that was one scary son of a gun. I'm going to read you this. According to the National Institutes of Health, phenol is toxic, and people who are hypersensitive to it, like my bather, could experience death or serious side effects at very low exposures.
And here's an interesting thing. That's very fascinating because I had a client who had two Himalayans that had reactions to the products that she was using for cleaning and ended up, she had to use like vinegar and water because that was all that the cats could tolerate. But I bet they were pulling products from the phenol category.
Well, concentrations over 2% are highly toxic to all animals, especially cats.
Oh my.
And this is not an animal site. This is, you know, actually that's a university site.
Okay.
But, you know, the pluses, there are reasons why it's a popular disinfectant. Phenols, the reason that phenols became popular, phenolic cleansers, because you can mix the disinfectant with a soap and you can have a cleansing and disinfecting in one thing. They're not as easily inactivated by soil and blood or soil and bodily fluids as bleaches, you know? So it sort of, so after bleach, they develop phenols, But as the years go by, they're beginning to wonder about the safety of this kind of a disinfectant. They're recognized as carcinogens in California.
What isn't?
And they also have suspected cardiovascular development, neurological, reproductive, respiratory, skins, and sense organ toxicant. Corrosive to eyes and skin. Absorbed through the skin and by inhalation. Toxic to all aquatic. Kills fish and everything in the water.
That's awful.
Yeah, you know, like I think that this is my least favorite class of disinfectants. They're toxic.
Why is it on every shelf in every grocery store and it's what everybody picks up? Is it cheap?
It's cheap and it's recognized. You know, the pine odor, it has a psychological connection to clean.
Right.
You know, there's grandmas, they wouldn't use anything else because they want that pine scent that says clean to their minds. So, you know, you just gotta wonder. This is not my selection. I would never use, I mean, especially after that Lysol, you just don't know if the person or the animal in front of you is hypersensitive or your employee. You know, I don't want employees to be using this stuff.
Oh, I just realized something. What? My table wipes, they're Lysol.
Well, you might want to check the ingredients because it's very possible that they're made without them.
Okay, I'll look.
Look at the label, look it up online. Here's another thing. One of the things that makes Pine Sol hazardous is that people tend to use too much. They make the, you know, and so that's the risk when you make a product that's diluted, is that some people will not dilute it enough and make for a more hazardous product. So, and if they dilute it too much, it's not effective against the bacteria, et cetera, right?
Right.
So, phenols are not effective against non-enveloped viruses and spores. Spores is an issue, but to what extent do we have to have something that's going to kill spores every day? Spores become an issue with ringworm.
Oh.
So ringworm is passed on. They throw out spores.
Right. Fungus. It's a fungus.
And so we want... but you don't need to be, well, or do you? Let's just raise the question. Do you need to be prepared for ringworm between each and every pet?
So I don't think so. As a vet groomer, we addressed ringworm on an individual basis if you have discovered ringworm, because ringworm is out there in the soil. It's out there everywhere. So dogs with decent immune systems and cats with decent immune systems are not affected. It's weak immune systems that get affected by it. And it's true that we can get affected by it because we have contact with the pet. But if you know the ringworm is there, then you take the precautions, right? I mean, am I right there?
Right. And there again, hand washing. Groomers need to wash their hands more often than they do. You know, my lovely assistant, I never see her wash her hands before we eat lunch.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if I don't wash my hands, I have at my desk the hand sanitizer stuff. But, you know, yeah, ringworm is a instance where you would do more after the fact reaction than prevention, because I just wonder to what extent, at what level, someday we as an industry need to define what is our standard that we're of disinfection that we're trying to achieve. Do we really need to clean every comb after every use?
What a great segue into our next segment, Barbara. Are we done with your segment?
Yeah. I think I pretty well butchered. I just buried phenols.
Yes, good. I don't think I'm ever going to look at them the same way again. I really don't.
Oh, I have a little thing. Okay. I had a message from a groomer who asked my opinion on something. And this line of shampoo is called Glacial Rain. Oh. Have you ever heard of that?
Nope.
This shampoo, it's called Glacial Rain. It's been around forever, but it's not been marketed very well. And he said there was a rumor that he had heard that B3 ripped off the formula for Glacial Rain shampoo. I don't know. I kind of dodged that. But I looked at the ingredient lineup for the Glacial Rain and gave him my opinion. And then yesterday I ran into my ingredient lineup of the original B3.
Yes.
Identical.
Oh, it's another one of those sneaky espionage in the grooming thing.
In the grooming industry. Now, Well, I told him that, you know, an ingredient list is not a recipe, so that's not proof that it's the same formula. But to have the wording be so, I mean, if it was just the ingredients, but you had sort of formulated them yourself,
yeah,
it would seem that you would change the wording.
Yes.
Of the, I mean, it was just like right on. I mean, and if you ripped off somebody else's formula, wouldn't you change your language just a little bit?
I would think so. But yes,
I mean, it was just absolutely the same, you know.
All right.
Yeah.
Interesting. Just a little more.
So now I want to try the Glacial Rain, and I am tempted to pump them up.
I like it. You have to give us a report.
Yeah, well, he's going to give me a report, and if he says he thinks it's great, I'm going to get some and get behind it a little bit, because they just have it's a groomer, and her husband is a chemist.
Yes, I was just reading on the website. It looks like I'd like to try it too. I bet it smells good too. If you're enjoying the Groom Pod and all the good things that happen here, and you want to help us continue to grow, consider doing your shopping at Amazon through our Amazon banner on the website. It won't cost you anything more, and the Groom Pod will get a percentage of your sale. This is by far the best way to help us pay for the show. Just go to our website, www.thegroompod.com, scroll to the bottom, and click on the Amazon ad. Then do your shopping as usual. We really appreciate each and every one of you guys who's been shopping at the Groom Pod's website. Thank you very much. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. Okay, folks, it's time for At the Table, where we're going to discuss just how clean is clean, and really, how clean do we need to be, and what responsibility do we take going forward in the products we use in our shop and the environment we create, as far as how focused we are on cleanliness and safety and or disinfecting and sterilization. So the reason I bring this topic up is because there was some interesting legislation that went through in Colorado where they're really putting their nose into our grooming industry, and they may not necessarily be groomers who are doing it. So Barbara's going to tell us a little bit about how the things we use to clean, like our brushes and our combs and stuff like that, affect our environment in the grooming shop. So what do I do? I spray them down, but I don't even think I spray them down in between every dog. I spray them down. Let's see. When I go from household to household and I put everything away, I usually do give it a quick spray with some alcohol. Am I doing enough, Barbara?
Yeah, I think you are. But I'm not the person who's setting the industry standard. we all need to participate in setting an industry standard. And if we don't participate, somebody else is going to lay their standards on us. And this is what happened in Colorado, because Colorado got legislated into a situation where they have a board that's a vet board with one groomer on board that sets the rules and regulations for the whole state groomers in Colorado. And, you know, they have things, it's rigorous. You know, they if they walk into a salon and it has more than one kind of dog hair on the floor, you get written up.
Okay.
You know,
so
you know, are these so I actually I kind of like that rule, and I have I try to clean up in between every dog just because I don't want my customers to come in and see us wading through dog hair.
Yeah.
And I have a very open shop, but you know, but there again, and they have regulated that groomers cannot use dish soap except by a prescription from their vet.
All right.
So that's over regulation. And so here's what I think. I think we have to be, first of all, we need to be careful and mindful about the chemicals that we use in our shops and grooming rooms. We need to be careful that we're not nuking ourselves, you know,
okay.
That we're not so overly concerned about disinfection, or so that we're layering disinfectant upon disinfectant and more contact per day than is absolutely necessary, and we don't wear masks and we don't wear gloves, and the dogs are sitting in our space breathing and stepping on our surfaces that we've used these chemicals on the chemical disinfectant industry side of things. They're doing a nuclear war kind of escalation. They're competing with each other about how many things they can kill, their product kills, in how short a time, and blah, blah, blah. And they're developing more and more powerful disinfectants that they're putting out in the marketplace that we then buy. And grandma would have just used a lot of vinegar and water.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just like, I just don't know to what extent I want to go along with all that. I am a firm believer in the effectiveness of steam cleaning. We had a post on the discussion group Facebook page about wall clinic here.
Right.
And the groomer says she uses this, it sounded like, pretty much on every tool between every dog. Well, I looked it up. Clinic Care is a disinfectant phenol is right. And she's
right.
And she's not just using it at the end of the day to clean her stuff. She's spraying it. It's a spray. She's spraying it and breathing it and spraying it and breathing it all day long.
Yeah, that's no good
and
at all.
Now, and you know, like, I mean, it's the same as a lot of the blade washes and blade combination products that we have. Blade care sprays are highly toxic phenols.
Yeah, we've got to change our protocols, and we're not responsible for an operating room either. That's the other thing.
That's just it. We're not running a hospital. We're not running a restaurant. We're not running a vet clinic. And we don't need to be held to vet clinic standards because we're not having the rates of exposure that they would have. And you know, the extent of your exposure depends a little bit on your general clientele. If you're, you know, if you're doing the cheapest grooming in town and you're getting a lot of once a year dogs and backyard dogs that are not well cared for and strays and all of that, then your exposure is possibly greater than my exposure when 85% of my people are coming every 4 weeks or less.
Right. That makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Okay, folks, we could talk all day about cleaning issues and cleanliness, but the truth is I have a mobile grooming fall festival fiesta fun bowling match to get to, so I got to get out of here. So we're going to wrap it up, but we will be back to share more love with you guys next week. And Barbara, I enjoyed this just like I enjoy every morning with you. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next week. Happy grooming, everybody.
Bye now, groomers. Stay healthy.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.